Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a friend of the show. We're going to speak with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. And today we're going to have a treat because I know every time you turn on the TV, there's all sorts of infomercials about how you can keep yourself from getting wrinkled and how you can turn back the clock so you can look younger again. But I think it's more than cosmetic. And if you've ever wondered how to stay vibrant, joyful, and full of purpose as the years go by, today's program's for you. It's about something deeper than just cosmetics. Our guest, Dr. Jones, is one of the nation's leading holistic health and lifestyle experts. And for three decades, Susan's taught healthy living at UCLA and has inspired millions worldwide through her books, speaking engagements, media appearances, and wellness programs. Today, she's going to share simple yet powerful ways to age gracefully, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. You'll discover how kindness, gratitude, faith, healthy living, and even spending more time in nature can help you feel younger in spirit and more energized in life. Susan's wisdom is practical, uplifting, and refreshingly hopeful. So grab a cup of tea, a pen and paper, and get ready to be inspired. So Susan, I want to thank you so much for your time, and I want to welcome you back to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Elena. You know, I love being with you. And this is a topic, with all the shows we've done together, that we've never addressed before. And you know, I live in probably the cosmetic surgery capital of the world here in Los Angeles. So, and my perspective, like yours, I already know, and we've discussed, is different than most people. So this is going to be a great topic today.
I'm looking forward to it. So let's start off with the first question. When people hear the phrase aging gracefully, many think it's about how you look, gray hair, etc. But what does aging gracefully really mean to you?
Yeah, and wrinkles. Well, I think it has little to do with the number of candles on your birthday cake and everything to do with how brightly your inner light shines. And for me, aging gracefully means embracing each season of life with gratitude, dignity, enthusiasm. Like Ralph Waldo Emerson said, nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. I love that. It means focusing less on staying young and more on just staying vibrant. And the truth is, and we've done shows on this before, you and I, that we're living in one of the busiest periods of human history. And most people are rushing through life so quickly that they barely have time to enjoy it. You know, we rush through meals, conversations, vacations, and even moments that should be treasured, we're rushing through them. And when we're constantly stressed and overwhelmed, we don't just age faster physically, we lose touch with joy. So if I had to give you like the bottom line of aging gracefully, it means slowing down enough to appreciate life's blessings, nurturing our health, strengthening our faith, staying curious about life, laughing often, and continuing to grow into the best version of ourselves. And I've discovered over decades of looking into this topic that the people who age most beautifully aren't necessarily the ones with the fewest wrinkles. They're the ones with the most gratitude every day.
I think that's really well said. You know, it seems that people are either thinking about what happened or trying to, you know, I guess, control what's going to happen. And if something traumatic happens, it just makes people sit in a space of anxiety or something negative. And what you just described is if you're grateful, you have to be in the moment, don't you?
You've got to be right. You're right in that present moment, counting your blessings, looking at anything and everything in your life for which you're grateful.
That's a different energy. I found that when I started to journal and first thing in the morning, write down three things that I'm grateful for, It just changes the whole energy of the day. I don't have this weight. And you're just looking, you know, you're in the moment and you're looking for things that are positive that way. So you're not looking for what else can happen and what happened yesterday and how someone's thinking about it. It doesn't matter. It just puts you in a position where you really feel what matters is you, God, and the present, and not outside sources, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You're brighter, you're lighter, and you're in touch and connected to the joy, that fountain of joy that's within you right now.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for it. That's what people, you know, it'll come. When I retire, I'll have X. When I go this next month, I'm going on vacation. All the things that are looking forward, but it does make you completely skip over the things that you can control. You can control what's going on in the moment, but you can't control what happened or what's going to happen. That to me leaves a level that just negates anxiety, because you can't control what you can't control. You give it to God, and it just changes you trying to manipulate everything or control the outcome. You can't do that most of the time, but you control what you need to do in the present to get to what you want. It's just a different mindset.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I love the little affirmation I say often is, I let go and let God.
Mm-hmm. It's a big difference, isn't it?
It sure is.
Now, in your book, Uplifted, you write about how small acts of kindness blesses both the receiver and the giver. What does that mean?
Well, I'm going to explain that by giving you a really sweet little story of something that happened to me not long ago at Heathrow Airport in London. The story reminds me that one of the greatest lessons that I've learned in life is that small acts of kindness can often create the biggest miracles. So I was at Heathrow Airport, and I was at my gate waiting. I think I had a 4-hour layover to take a flight to somewhere else in the UK. It was Ireland, actually. And the gate next to mine was going to board with people going from Heathrow to LAX, you know, my hometown. And because of the stormy weather, most of the flights were delayed, some were canceled, and they announced the final boarding for the flight, and I could hear it over their intercom system as I was waiting for my flight. And I noticed this harried man running to the counter. He needed to fly to LAX. He had his briefcase in one hand and his ticket in the other. And the ticket agent, you know, behind the counter said that unfortunately his seat had been given away because it was overbooked. And they offered to put him on a flight not that long after his flight left. And everyone in the terminal could hear the extent of his frustration. He had an important meeting in LA, and he had to get there on time. And I also couldn't help but feel for him, because I've had similar situations where I couldn't afford to miss a flight. And all of a sudden, this woman, who I discovered, I'll tell you in a moment, was in her mid-80s, actually 84, she walked up to the angry man and said she wasn't in a hurry and she'd be happy to give him her seat. Well, as you can imagine, that man stopped right in his tracks and looked as if he was about to cry. I think he was embarrassed by his behavior, and he apologized to her, the ticket agent, everyone around, and thanked the woman for being an angel in his life. And then he boarded the flight using her ticket, smiling and relieved. Now, Dr. Elena, the man never knew this, of course, but the airline got her on another flight 3 hours later and also gave her an additional free first-class round-trip ticket to any destination served by the company. I think they were so grateful that she rectified this very angry situation with the man, because everyone in the terminal area that was around there could hear what was going on. And then to boot, I had the good fortune to have a lovely visit. Her name was Elizabeth June. She said, "Call me June," over a delicious meal at the restaurant at the airport. And by the way, she looked about 50, and she told me she was 84 going on 85. And I asked her her secret to aging gracefully. And normally people take a lot of notes often when I talk, but I was taking notes when she was talking. And she said it was to embrace a positive mindset, to eat a healthy diet, to stay physically active a little bit every day, keep joy her heart's top priority, and to foster faith and connection with God, keep that strong every day. And June was absolutely a tremendous inspiration to me. And I think her example shows how joy can be our constant companion when we walk the path of love and kindness. She was compassionate, kind, very inspiring to me, and she looked to be decades younger than her age. So a couple takeaways from this lovely little incident was that that wonderful woman wasn't just giving away a seat. She was giving away stress, frustration, fear, and replacing them with hope. And then here's what struck me the most. As mentioned, she looked decades younger than her age, and her secret was not found, like you said early on, in a bottle, a cream, or a cosmetic procedure. Her secret was joy, kindness, faith, and gratitude. And I've never forgotten her.
What an inspiring story. I mean, the fact that she was blessed to get, I mean, the round trip ticket anywhere the plane flies is pretty amazing in itself. But just to imagine the energy change when he stopped in his tracks and totally, you know, 180 degree between anger and, you know, gratitude and thankfulness. I mean, it just pervaded the space, I can imagine. It's an easy thing to do. And it doesn't have to even be that. It can be holding an elevator for somebody, holding a door for somebody. I mean, that's a major act of kindness, what she did. But
yes.
It's the little things, right? It's not just saying good morning, right? The little things count.
Yes. And even like smiling. You can make someone's day by smiling at them, because you make them feel that they made a connection and that this person cares about me enough to actually smile, even to a stranger. And you asked a moment ago about blessing both the receiver and the giver. You know, she blessed him, but she was blessed because look at what she got, another flight and then a free first-class ticket anywhere that this worldwide carrier went. And then I was blessed because I watched it all. And then I got to meet her and had one of the best meals ever listening to her talk.
I mean, this connection in this day and age where everything is so virtual. And I read an article about people having relationships with things like ChatGPT.
I know.
But it's never positive. They're depressed. They're anxious. There is no connection with that.
This is
the ultimate. It's we've somehow negated the importance of human kindness, human connection, just interacting with somebody. That's a huge transfer and a connectivity that gives people, and as you said, hope. I can imagine everybody on that plane on their way to LA had a positive aura in that on that trip.
And yes, yes.
It didn't take a lot. It didn't cost anybody anything. It didn't take away anything from anybody. Is there anything that, I mean, I think God is the centerpiece of everything, but what do you think people need to do to reconnect to that? Is it putting down their electronics? Is it just being in the present and actually being empathetic? What is the emotion that leads to this?
Yes, yes and yes to what you just said. You're right. We totally disconnect from the world around us when our head is facing down, looking at our smartphone all day long. It's a direction that the world is taking that I think is a very unhealthy direction. And that's why, by the way, you know this, in my new gold medal winning novelette, Joy and the Butterfly, I made sure that Joy and her parents and her family and cousins, none of them use a cell phone. They all engage with life a little bit more, and they're able to communicate with everyone and have wonderful relationships. So, and they're, by the way, there are countries now that are saying until age 16 or whatever that they don't want the kids to be on social media. That's a good trend, I think.
I would agree. I mean, we're seeing it younger and younger. I had a conversation with a colleague talking about her niece, or I think it was a cousin, who, I mean, it's a toddler, and she's just strapped to a cell phone. You know, that's her entertainment. And she's not engaged with everybody. She's a little bit, energetic, but not necessarily in a good way.
I know.
I mean we learn how to be, exactly. But I mean, we learn how to engage as children. I mean, that's how we learn how to be members of society. I mean, this is a little bit of a segue, but do you think because the cell phones have taken over, the norms of what it means to be popular? I mean, I think that's a bad thing. You shouldn't want to be popular. You should want to be you. Or all these silos that people go into with the X and, you know, whatever you look for, you just get that in your feed. There's nothing outside of it. So it's like this echo chamber, and it's not positive most of the time.
No, it's not. And all these studies coming out now show that it really affects people's self-esteem, and especially the young kids and the teenagers. I don't know how you cannot be affected in a negative way with your self-worth and who you are when you look at information that in every way possible makes you less than. And all of these screens make you totally addicted. You don't want to be addicted to anything. If something affects your mood, if you can't get on it for a few hours, or if you can't eat a certain food and it really affects your mood, you know that you're addicted to that. And it's because you're not never going to be really addicted to eating a big, beautiful, leafy green salad or an apple. But there are so many other things that affect you in a negative way, and I think darken your soul and makes it almost nearly impossible to be the best version of yourself. So, you know, even though this could be a topic for another time for us, you want to free yourself up whenever possible from always being on tech and screen, and having time where you're out in nature or reading a good book or talking with people rather than chatting all the time on your screens.
I think that's a great place for people to take a step back and think about that. So let's take our first break and come back. You're Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Susan, and people can go to your website. Can you give us that website so people know how they can get your book and read what you write? You have a wonderful wealth of information on that site.
Yes, thank you. It's just my name, and this really is my name. I didn't make it up. It's Susan Smith. Jones.com. You'll find lots of info there. Click on Susan's links. You'll get info on the books, my work, lots of great articles you can read. Just lots of great healthy living info.
Let's pick up where we left off, because you just described why we're just so harried and disconnected and unhappy. And it's about slowing down. So what are the keys that you have for slowing down our daily pace and being more compassionate?
All right. Yeah, no, I do have 6 keys. If we had 3 hours, I'd give you a few more, but I'm gonna shorten it to 6. But the good news is that aging gracefully is not complicated. It doesn't require expensive equipment, a perfect life, or winning the genetic lottery. It comes down to daily simple choices. So I call these 6 gifts we can give ourselves every day. And they include sleep, prayer, nutrition, exercise, nature, and enthusiasm. So let's start with sleep, 1. And you and I have done a whole show on this, so I'll just make it brief here. But you want to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep at night. Getting a mere 6 hours or fewer of sleep each night can make you feel more stressed, depressed, and impatient, as well as it will increase most people's blood pressure, and it makes you definitely irritable. You know, in the morning when you wake up on too few hours of sleep, you're not as positive about the day. So not only that, but when we sleep, we allow our brain and body to get the rest it needs. Lack of sleep will promote inflammatory markers, and that can affect heart diseases like heart attacks, atrial fibrillation, and congestive heart failure. It can also lead to increased risk for cancers. It can affect our immune system's ability to fight off infections, like a common cold, as well as affect hormones that are involved with obesity and diabetes. It also affects the speed at which our brain functions. And what's more, and I know you'll agree, it's hard to feel compassionate or to count your blessings and live with gratitude when you're just trying to get through the day with a short fuse and not enough time to accomplish all you need to do. And research shows, just to finalize this, that when you get more sleep on a regular basis, your stress level abates and you become a more compassionate person. And by the way, this may sound prosaic, and I've mentioned this to you before on the show we did, Focus Totally on Sleep, is that you want to make your bed in the morning. It's one of the things you can do to start your day on a positive note. But studies actually reveal that people who make their bed, doesn't have to be a perfect bed like you do in the military, but like pull the blanket up, the comforter, whatever, sheets, make your bed, because it will make you happier throughout the day. Something that simple, and it doesn't cost you any money.
Simple. Is it routine, or is it just order? What's the thing that makes it such a positive?
I think it's both. Your body thrives on daily routines that are the same. The same when you go to bed and wake up, the same time you eat every day. Your body loves a routine. It gives you that perfect circadian rhythm. Your body also thrives on things, and I want to do a whole show one day with you on decluttering your environment and simplifying your life. Mm. Your body also thrives when you don't have clutter around you, when you have some organization, and it gives you a little control over your day, because that's something so easy to do, to make your bed. And, you know, we've talked before about it takes 21 consecutive days in a row to make or break a habit. You either bring in something positive, like making your bed every day or exercising, or you give up something like having big calorie-dense desserts every night after dinner. And after 21 days, without skipping a day, you will either have accepted a new habit or you'll give up a habit that wasn't good for you. And so maybe you make a 21-day agreement just to make your bed every day. See how you feel after 21 days. You'll see you feel a little bit better. And then maybe the next month, you can combine two things. You can combine getting a little physical activity every day with drinking more water. But the 21-day agreements are powerful. Ben Franklin once said, whatever you do for 21 days in a row will make or break a habit. So that's just a good thing to remember when you want to establish new positive habits in your life or let go of a habit you know that's not good for you. And if you miss a day, like you didn't make your bed one day out of the 21, or you had that big dessert, if that was your agreement of a pint of ice cream after dinner, then you have to start back over again. But I'm not saying you've got to do it for a year, 6 months, or 3 months. Most people can agree to 21 days, and it gives you very strong, enhanced, powerful self-esteem when you say you're going to do something and you keep your word. I always believe you want to make your word gold, no matter what you say to someone else that you're going to do or to yourself, because when you don't keep your word and it begins with you, I do believe that's part of your darkening your soul and really lowering your self-esteem. I know that's a whole different topic for another day. We digressed. But
It's
very powerful to keep your word with others and with yourself.
I mean, it seems like it's about loving yourself and making yourself a priority. And that's not a bad thing. You can't give to others if you can't give to yourself, right?
So right. Fill your cup first.
Now, how does meditation and prayer fit with this? Because that's also a discipline, isn't it?
It's a discipline. It's a great ritual every day, and it will help make you more compassionate and make you a kinder person, which is what we definitely want to be as we grow older gracefully. My grandmother taught me when I was a teenager how to meditate, so I've been doing it most days. I'll be honest, not every single day. Something might come up. But I try to bookend my day first part of the morning and at the end of the day before I go to bed. If I only have time for one little session, it will usually be in the morning. And you want to find a quiet space in your home. And, you know, if you've never meditated before, you can just focus on your breathing. You can close your eyes, inhale and exhale slowly and deeply, focusing on the sound and rhythm of your breathing, and then at the same time mentally visualize peace and calmness. Because by doing this, you'll start and maybe also end your day on a stress-free note, and you'll feel calmer and more compassionate. I often will take a passage from the Bible, and one of my most favorite is Mark 4:39, which I love these three words. Peace, be still. And I'll often slowly and deeply breathe into the word peace. And you can say it out loud or you can do it silently. And then exhale slowly to the words be still. And when I do this for a few minutes, and I've tested this on many people over the decades, this simple practice helps me and will help you feel calmer, more relaxed, and knowing that you're doing something kind for your body and mind, and also fostering a deeper connection with God. Because I think when you pray, you talk to God. I talk to God. And when I meditate, I'm just quiet and I listen for God. I listen for, you know, whatever whatever messages I need to get that might not come during the meditation. I might get them later on in the day. But I do know on the days I do not meditate, just like on the days I haven't gotten enough sleep the night before, my day does not go as smoothly. And things that normally would not have bothered me during the day bother me much more. And I'm a kinder, more gentle, loving, compassionate person when I get enough sleep and when I start my morning off with a short meditation.
And for the diet, you know, we tend, as you said at the beginning of the show, people are eating quickly, they're stopping off and eating while they're doing other things. Do you have to be mindful, or should you also take the time and that space when you're eating? Is that just as important?
Just as important, which is why it's so important to have a few seconds of grace and gratitude before you start your meal. But what you eat will affect your mood, not just your body, but your mood too. And if you want to be a kinder, more compassionate person, you've got to reduce or even eschew foods made with white sugar and white flour, avoid foods made with artificial flavorings and colorings and preservatives. Now, this means you got to read a lot of labels if you buy packaged foods. You want to focus on a plant-heavy diet, lots of produce, as close to the way nature made the fruits and vegetables as possible, because these are the foods teeming with antioxidants, nutrients, and fiber. And by the way, a healthy diet is the best health care that your money can buy. And if you're carrying around extra weight on your body, especially around your middle, that visceral fat, and you want to lose it, you want to say goodbye to it, you want to make a priority for your lifestyle with the following things: that one, you don't want to overeat; two, choose healthier foods; three, be physically active daily; and four, get enough sleep at night. Because when you're overweight and obese, in fact, we should even do a whole show on weight loss, it puts so much extra stress on your body. And that also increases inflammation and suppresses the immune system. And God has blessed each of us with a miraculous body. And one of our gifts back to God is just to take loving care of your miraculous body temple. And when you take care of your body with a healthy lifestyle, just like June did at the Talk to Me About at the Heathrow Airport, you inspire everyone you know and with whom you come in contact. And those ripples go outward and will light up other people's lives by you just inspiring them. So taking care of your miraculous body needs to be a top priority in your life, because it also reveals your inner sense of self-worth.
I mean, it's powerful because it's internal. It's not what how people see you, right? It's not what you read in a magazine trying to emulate. This is, it's what you exude. And that makes it so much more powerful, because the individual, your individuality is what's valued, and you value it. Means nobody can superimpose anything on you, and you just, you know, you shake it off, I would think.
Is that a Taylor Swift song?
No, not a Taylor Swift song.
or some Shake It Off. We could probably have a song here.
This is bigger than Taylor.
Taylor Swift. And so I was just thinking, again, fill your own cup, your inner cup of self-worth. Take care of yourself, because that little inspiration that ripples outward when people see your love, compassion, kindness, enthusiasm, vitality, radiance will have a positive effect on so many people. Mm-hmm. It comes down to hundreds and thousands of lives you can affect by being the best version of yourself. And it also includes exercise.
Well, let's take our second break, because I want to break this down. We're inundated with all these things that we should do, but what's the core of what's important? So let's take our second break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Susan Jones, and we were talking about exercise before the break. You know, it's not about running a marathon, is it, where you have to be engaged with your body necessarily, right? Isn't it something simple, maybe walking or something that doesn't involve you needing equipment or time? Is that really the kind of exercise you're talking about?
Yes, that and more if you had time. But there's an old Latin aphorism, you know, that's usually translated into a sound mind in a sound body. And many years ago, there was a British 4-year study on 200 people by Dr. Malcolm Carruthers that found that most people could ban the blues with a simple but vigorous 10-minute exercise session 3 days a week, like going around a track, walking around your neighborhood at the local park, getting, if you have equipment on a treadmill because it's raining or snowing outside, it's good to have one piece of aerobic equipment in your home with a few pieces of equipment for weight training. But Dr. Carruthers found that 10 minutes of vigorous exercise could double the level of norepinephrine in your body, which he said was the chemical key to happiness. And it was also discovered in another study that people became more compassionate after exercising outdoors, out in nature, as opposed to indoors. So let's make this really practical. You want to make it a priority to get at least 150 minutes of exercise each week. It could be walking, or it could be weight training with a little bit of aerobic on the side. You could divide that into 30 minutes 5 times a week or 50 minutes 3 times a week. But keep this in mind if you want to lose weight as well, that you want to work up to 1 hour of exercise 6 days a week, because that's when you use more fat as the fuel source. You burn more fat, especially after about 40 minutes. But not only will this physical activity help you shed the extra weight, but exercise makes you more positive. It unlocks your mental power and physical stamina. It gives your skin a healthy glow and puts wings under your confidence. It bolsters your self-esteem. And one of my favorite quotes about exercise was by my buddy Henry David Thoreau, who once wrote, "An early morning walk is a blessing for the whole day." And he's right.
I mean, just think about it physiologically. You have increase in blood flow. You have removal of toxins when you sweat, right? You've got blood flow to your brain, heart, extremities, everything. I would think your blood pressure also drops, and maybe even your blood sugar.
Everything you said and a million more things. You cannot expect to be vibrantly healthy if you eat a great diet and you get enough sleep, but you do not exercise. And by the way, muscle mass that you get through strength training is one of the predictors of how long you will live. And so you want to keep your muscles strong as you get older, that they get smaller if we don't do regular strength training as we get older. We'll save that for another discussion, but you want to combine aerobic activity with resistance training, with also something to help with flexibility, like stretching and yoga.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at various articles about as people get older and they get less flexible, the risk of falling goes up. I think your mental acuity also is affected by it. So little things like just strengthening and stretching, you're right. And you just, if you sit all the time, isn't that another another risk factor because you're just not as flexible.
Not only that, yes, you're so right. Because you've heard all the time now that 6 hours or more of sitting a day is like smoking at least one pack of cigarettes a day to your body's physiology. And when you sit, you tighten all those ligaments, tendons, and muscles around your hamstrings, your quads, your buttocks, your psoas, your lower back, which is often why people, as they get older, lose their sense of balance. So you've got to stretch every single day in some way.
You know, it strikes me that you don't have to do a lot of it to get the benefit, right? It's not hours. It's about doing it. And as your body gets used to it, it starts to release, you know, these tight areas. Again, you got blood flow, like the knees, for example. A lot of people have knee pain. And if you stretch and you actually do maybe not deep squats, but you start moving the fluids in these joints, it takes out inflammation. It actually helps mobility. And next thing you know, your muscle strength goes up.
And that is right. And it also makes you look younger. On days I have to have a photo shoot, I've told you this before, I always make sure I do my red light therapy. And I always make sure that if I have time, I'll get in a good infrared sauna. But I will definitely get in a workout because it, with the benefit of boosting your circulation, it gives you a healthy glow in your skin. You just are healthier physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually when you engage in regular fitness every single day, something. Earlier I said if you want to lose weight, work out 6 days a week, but on the seventh day, still do a little stretching, something easy.
This is about, again, loving yourself. I mean, if you have the discipline, there's something about being able to, as you say, have your word mean something. That just puts you in a position where, to me, you're resilient. And whatever's coming at you, you have a frame of reference, if lack of a better way to put it, that it doesn't affect you in a negative way. And if it does, you have some sort of insight for it, and you just move past it. It's not about medication, is it?
Oh no! And you can do all of these things together while you're walking. Let's say you're out walking. You can be out in nature and appreciate nature, which is the next step. You can do your deep breathing. You can say positive affirmations. You know, you can combine a lot of things as one. And the next key is about looking at nature. There have been studies that show that a simple and inexpensive way to become more compassionate, something we're emphasizing today, is view a photo or an image of a nature scene. You can put like a big poster or blown up image in your home or office. Look at it a few times a day. And in one really good study I read, it revealed that those people who spent a few minutes a day viewing images of nature, especially expansive views of nature, like an ocean scene or the mountains, became more compassionate. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "Nature always wears the color of spirit." But even better than viewing images, of course, of nature is being outdoors in nature and experiencing it firsthand. You can't appreciate nature if you're always looking down at your smartphone or playing video games. In my workshops, in my private practice, I often talk about this disease my grandmother taught me as a teenager. She called it NDD. I think she made it up. It's nature deficit disorder. And when you have a choice, always exercise outdoors, like take a hike in the mountains, walk in your local park, or even if you have a backyard, walk around your backyard, enjoy a brisk walk at the beach, ride a bike. But not only does too much time away from nature drain our body's energy, and throw off our physical, mental, emotional balance, it also wrinkles our soul and deprives us of a cost-free visual Valium experience. So the more time we spend outdoors in nature, that we all need to do more often, on a regular basis, the healthier and more balanced we become. And our moms and grandmothers were always right when they said, go outside and play. And to this I'll say, go outside to play and pray and appreciate the beauty of nature.
Well, it's about also, to me, grounding, right? You talk about balance, but isn't that like earthing kind of situation, you know, mentality of you're just part of a bigger whole. It's not all about you either. And it just puts you puts a different perspective on it, doesn't it?
Yes. And I was a little nervous about bringing up earthing and grounding because you want to do it barefoot. And I know I could talk about that for two more hours. But when you're barefoot on nature's ground, not cement, but the natural grass or the sand or something like in your backyard, natural, your body absorbs the electrons that the Mother Earth gives off and helps your body in myriad ways. We don't have time to talk about. On my website, if you go to the search bar and put in earthing or grounding, you can see a one-hour documentary I posted done by medical doctors about all the benefits to your body from looking younger, boosting immunity, for ADHD, for making you feel more positive, for reducing inflammation, getting rid of pain. All these things are achieved by a free activity of earthing. And the documentary is so worth watching on my website. Again, go to the search bar, put in earthing or grounding, and right there at the top of that page, it's a 1 hour great documentary.
You know, full disclosure, I actually took your advice and I went to the Huga Health website, and they have a grounding mat for those who can't go outside and who can't, for whatever reason, do what we just described. That mat is pretty amazing, and it's easy, and you can do it in your own home.
Well, guess what? My feet, bare feet, are on the mat under my desk right now. And if you go to my website and put in H-O-O-G-A, or you put in red light therapy, you'll see how, if you order anything from them, put in Susan 12, because it's the same discount I get when I bought my red light therapy panel and other devices. You can get a 12% discount.
Well, on that note, while people hopefully go to the website right now on our break, let's take our last break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Jones. And again, Susan, can you give people your website again so they can put that in there, you know, write it down or either go to it as we're speaking?
Yes, it's my name, Susan Smith Jones. com.
Now, the last thing on your six keys is live with enthusiasm. And it sounds, maybe for some people, it's hard to do. They don't know exactly what that means. What does that mean to you?
Well, you're going to love this. The word enthusiasm comes from the Greek meaning of filled with God. That is such a beautiful thought to me. And enthusiasm always lives in the heart. You know, it's the spark that brings life to our dreams, purpose to our days, and joy to even the simplest moments. And Ralph Waldo Emerson, as I said earlier, but I think it bears repeating, wisely observed, nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. So no matter your age, your circumstances, or challenges, you can always choose enthusiasm. It's one of God's greatest gifts, a renewable source of energy that helps us greet each day with faith, hope, and gratitude. I like to think of enthusiasm as the pilot light within our heart. And when it burns brightly, it will illuminate our path, inspire others, and help us approach life with courage and confidence. So let that heart light shine through everything you think, say, and do, and use your inherent enthusiasm.
I mean, it just seems once you are able to bring all of these aspects together, you just become a whole person, not being pushed this way and that by what you hear on TV, what you read. It just doesn't become, it's not important anymore. And how, in your opinion, can you use everything we just spoke about to move towards aging gracefully? How can it become a gift that everybody can take advantage of?
Well, all right. I love that question. And I want to remind people that growing older is a privilege denied to many. And every birthday is a gift. That's how you have to look at it. Every wrinkle tells a story. Every silver hair represents lessons learned, challenges overcome, and moments of love shared. And while we may occasionally forget why we walked into a room, at least we can laugh about it on the way back out. So remember that the goal isn't to stay 25 forever. The goal is to become the healthiest, happiest, wisest, kindest version of yourself at every age. And when we slow down and appreciate nature, care for our bodies, nurture our faith, practice gratitude, choose kindness, and on, we sleep, get enough sleep, we don't just add years to our life, we add life to our years. And as I wrote in Uplifted, your mind is a garden and your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. My grandmother used to tell me that.
It's a choice, isn't it? You can choose all of these things.
Yeah, it always is. We got to choose wisely every single day. Life is about the hundreds of choices we make every day.
From the standpoint of making that choice, it shouldn't be a chore. It should be with joy that you do this, because you're doing something not only for yourself, but for everybody, because we're all connected.
We're all connected. We're connected to God, even if you don't feel it. And every choice we make can make a positive or negative difference in our lives. And I know we're getting short on time. And so I want to bring up two more quick things. One is, it just occurred to me, part of living gracefully is we've got to keep a sense of humor. We've got to keep our humor polished and ready for action. Because laughter is nature's facelift, free, painless, and no appointment required. When we laugh, it lifts our cheeks, brightens the eyes, exercises the abdominal muscles. And unlike most beauty treatments, nobody asks for an insurance card. And as the years pass, life gives us plenty of material. As mentioned, we may walk into a room and forget why we went in there, spend 10 minutes looking for our glasses already perched on our head, or bend down and tie a shoe and wonder what else we can accomplish while we're down there. So the secret is not to be embarrassed. The secret is to turn it into a comedy routine. So a good sense of humor, I believe, helps us carry life's burdens without letting them crush our spirit. It softens disappointments, strengthens relationships, lowers tension, and reminds us to not take every wrinkle, wobble, and misplaced car key as a personal tragedy. So treat yourself kindly, laugh at yourself, laugh with people you know, not at them, and look for something delightful every day, because growing old is inevitable, but growing gloomy is optional. You want to keep your faith strong, your heart young, and your funny bone well exercised. And finally, you know, my wish for everyone today is I may you Greet each day with gratitude. May you take loving care of your miraculous body. May you strengthen your connection with God. And may you find joy in ordinary moments. And that helps if you laughed often. And never stop believing that the best days are still ahead of you. And remember that you're never too old to set a new goal. You're never too old to discover a new dream. And you're never too old to make a difference. This is what aging gracefully to me is all about. And finally, you're never too old to create a life filled with joy, purpose, vitality, and wonder, because the most beautiful years of your life may not be behind you. They may be unfolding right now.
That's beautifully said. How can people get your books and go to your website and get more information, even if they want to actually go to any of the seminars I think that you have? How can people do that to engage with you?
Yeah, well, check out my website, SusanSmithJones.com. My last 5 books are wonderful. Well, people often say to me, well, okay, I just want one book to start with. Which one? So if you want simple daily health info about foods with 100 delicious, easy-to-prepare recipes, you'll like A Hug in a Mug. If you're looking for uplifting stories like the Heathrow story today and a couple dozen more and practical ways to feel more joy, gratitude, faith, and purpose, Uplifted is wonderful. And then finally, I'm excited about my gold medal winning novelette, Joy in the Butterfly. It's 18 chapters. It touches hearts because it's more than a story. It's a reminder that transformation is always possible at any age. Children of all ages love the book because of its adventure and imagination, and adults connect deeply with its messages of courage, hope, resilience, kindness, and discovering the beauty that already exists within all of us. So it's for everyone, children and adults. And for more information, go to SusanSmithJones.com, check out Susan's links, sign up for my free Healthy Living monthly newsletters, and lots of great holistic health and lifestyle information right there on my website.
Susan, as usual, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I feel, you know, that I have so much more that I can experience, and I'm looking forward to it. And that's what life's about, right, isn't it?
That's exactly right. I love talking about these things to help us live more kindly, thankfully, lovingly, and gracefully.
Yeah, if everybody felt that way, I think we'd be living in a much better world. But I'm glad you're in it, and I'm glad I know you.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. On that note, I'd like to thank everybody for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk Events.